Good morning. My name is Teresa, and my presentation is on causes of non-fatal and fatal violence-related injuries among children under the age of 19 in the United States. Just to give you a little bit of background on this project, I work as a health outcomes researcher in the Department of Surgery at the IU School of Medicine. And after talking to some of the local trauma surgeons, as well as the trauma registrar at the pediatric trauma center, they felt that the trauma population was sort of changing recently. They felt that they were seeing a trend towards more younger adolescents presenting with violence-related injuries, and in particular, they felt they were seeing a lot of lacerations and knife wounds. And they were wondering if this was reflected in the national data, and if not, you know, why they could sort of explore some local interventions. So my name is Teresa Bell, and I have no relationships to disclose. Again, this study is primarily looking at violence-related injuries, and those are defined as injuries or poisonings inflicted by deliberate means. We specifically look at both assault and self-harm in this study, and assault, of course, is when one person intentionally inflicts injury on another person, and self-harm is when somebody intentionally inflicts injuries on themselves with the intent to take one's own life or to harm oneself. And this is this type of injury is a major cause of death and disability among children in the United States. According to Vital Statistics data, there were just under 4,500 deaths in 2013 for people 19 and under, and there were nearly half a million injuries estimated to be treated at U.S. emergency departments in 2013 as well. And although unintentional injuries are probably still more common in people under 19, homicide and suicide are in the top five causes of death for individuals 19 and younger. The objective of the study was to examine changes in non-fatal and fatal violence-related injuries between 2001 and 2013. We also wanted to compare changes in injury rates based on intention in terms of either assault or self-harm, the age group, and gender. We also wanted to look at changes in rates of injuries requiring hospitalization by mechanism of injury. And so the data source, we queried Whiskers for data from 2001 to 2013. Non-fatal data was derived from the National Electronic Injury Surveillance System, which is a sample of 96 U.S. hospitals that have emergency departments. And fatal data was sourced from the National Vital Statistics System. The methods, so non-fatal incidence rates were determined based on the estimated number of injuries that presented to emergency departments. Incidence rates of fatal injuries were calculated based on the number of deaths reported to the National Vital Statistics System. We used regression analysis to examine changes in incidence rates of violence-related injuries by both age group and gender. And we also looked at trends in injury intent, either assault or self-harm, and mechanism. And the four mechanisms we looked specifically at were firearm injuries, injuries due to cut pierce, injuries being struck by or against an object, and poisoning. And so moving on to the results. So this figure depicts the national trends in non-fatal injury rates by intention and gender. And the red lines show assault rates, and the blue lines show self-inflicted injury rates. The darker lines indicate males, and the lighter lines indicate females. And probably what's most notable about this graph is the large decrease in assault over the study period. So from 2001 to 2013, there was a 46% decrease in assaults in males and a 39.9% decrease in females. However, when you look at the self-inflicted injury data, we see that it differs from the assault rates, and the self-inflicted injury rate is higher in females than males, and it also increased more over the study period. So from 2001 to 2013, there was a 66% increase in self-inflicted injuries in females compared to a 12.7% increase in males. Looking at the rates by age, on the left-hand side, we look specifically at ages 10 to 14, so younger adolescents, and on the right-hand side, ages 15 to 19. We see that, again, assault rates decreased in both groups. There was nearly a 50% reduction from 2001 to 2013 in children ages 10 to 14, and there was a 32% reduction in assault rates for people ages 15 to 19. In contrast to this, though, we see that self-inflicted injury rates are going up in both. And due to the scale of the graph for ages 10 to 14, it's difficult to see, but there is actually 121% increase in the rate of self-inflicted injuries in 10 to 14-year-olds and a 29% increase in 15 to 19-year-olds. So this data is looking specifically at the rate of injuries that required hospitalization by mechanism of injury, and we were interested specifically in hospitalizations because it's a little bit more of a proxy for severity of injury. And the purple lines here indicate poisoning, and that is the mechanism of injury with the highest rate of hospitalization. Followed by that, we see injuries due to cutting are also high, then injuries by being struck by or against an object, and finally firearm injuries. And specifically, it looks like beginning in 2009 in the 10 to 14-year-old age group, we see a large increase in poisonings and self-inflicted injuries, and the majority of these injuries are in females that are self-inflicting their injuries. A regression analysis found that there was a significant decrease in non-fatal injury rates overall. Assault rates significantly decreased for all age groups. There was a significant decrease for both males and females. However, self-inflicted injury rates significantly increased in the study population. When we broke it out by gender, however, we saw that only females experienced a significant increase in self-inflicted injury rates, but not males. Also, we saw that rates of non-fatal injuries caused by being struck significantly decreased, which would make sense because this is the most common means of assault. Moving on to the fatal injury data, again, this shows trends very similar to what we saw with the non-fatal data. The red lines indicate homicide, and the blue lines indicate suicide. And we saw that there was, again, a decrease overall for homicide for both males and females. Males, the decrease was about 24%, and females saw actually a 27% decrease. However, females increased in their suicide rates, and between 2001 and 2013, it was about a 58% increase. However, males only increased 0.5% during the study period. Looking at these trends by age, again, this is very similar to the non-fatal data. We see that suicides are increasing and homicides are decreasing. Specifically for ages 10 to 14, we see that there was a 43.8% increase in suicide between 2001 to 2013. And it looks like we're sort of in the middle of an upward trend that started in 2008 for this age group. For ages 15 to 19, there was a 4.8% increase in suicides, but a 28% decrease in homicides. The analysis for the fatal injury rates found that homicide rates significantly decreased over the study period, specifically for age groups 0 to 4, 10 to 14, and 15 to 19. It decreased for both males and females. However, suicide rates significantly increased for females, but not for males during the study period. And finally, rates of fatal injuries caused by firearms or cutting and piercing significantly decreased. And although this was looking at sort of longitudinal trends in both fatal and non-fatal injuries, I thought it might just be interesting to see a cross-sectional snapshot of the homicide and suicide rates nationally. And as you can see from these maps that were produced by Whiskers, we see that states that have large urban populations tend to be the highest in homicide rates. However, these states also tend to be lower in their suicide rates. The states with the highest suicide rates tend to be the Midwestern and Western states. In summary, both fatal and non-fatal violence-related injury rates decreased nationally from 2001 to 2013. This was largely due to decreases in assaults and homicides. self-inflicted injury and suicide rates are increasing, however, and this is specifically in females and younger adolescents who are between the ages of 10 to 14. It appears that the rates of suicide began increasing in 2007. So 2007, they were the lowest during the study period, and then beginning in 2008, it began rising. Whereas the rates of self-inflicted non-fatal injuries began increasing in 2009, so there was a little bit of a lag between the fatal and non-fatal injuries. And finally, just based on the maps, we see that the burden of youth homicide and suicide differ by state. The limitations of this, non-fatal injury data only includes injuries that presented to the emergency department, so injuries that weren't treated or were treated in ambulatory care settings are not accounted for. Also, the non-fatal injury data under the NICE system, any injuries that are undetermined are automatically coded as unintentional, so they're likely underestimating the number of intentional injuries. There's also quite a few cases with missing information on race and ethnicity in both data sets. And as a descriptive epidemiology study, it's difficult to really determine drivers of changes in injury rates based on this data. And lastly, this data is only available currently through 2013, so this may not reflect some of the most recent trends that we're seeing in the trauma centers. In conclusion, there appears to be an emerging trend of increasing self-inflicted injuries and suicide nationally. Future studies should examine drivers of this trend, and Midwestern and Western states should possibly identify policies for reducing youth suicide. Finally, I'd just like to acknowledge my co-authors on this project. Both Allison Fesher and Peter Jenkins are surgeons in my department, and Nan Kiao is a graduate student. So, thank you.
We have time for questions for Teresa.
So you started off the presentation by talking about the trends in your own center. So what did you find when you looked at them?
For our own center? There has been a large increase in violence-related injuries. So, you know, one of the things they're concerned about is that, like the pediatric trauma center, they have almost as many admissions as the adult trauma center now, which is about up to 1,200 annually. And they just feel like the demographic of their patients has really been changing, and they're seeing a lot more violence-related injuries compared to, like, historically what they've seen. So, you know, I think that the results of this study are a bit different, though, because this shows that a lot of the increases are driven mostly by self-inflicted injuries versus assault, which is what they feel like they've been seeing more of.
Would you speculate on the reasons why females
under age 14 are increasing? I think we've known for a while that there are increases in cutting, which is injuries where people aren't necessarily trying to kill themselves, but they're harming themselves by cutting themselves or burning themselves. And a lot of times this is just to sort of deal with just negative emotions versus intentionally, I think, trying to take your life. So I have a feeling that that's probably like the biggest increase. However, even though many of those injuries might not be particularly serious medically, that it is one of the biggest predictors of suicide later on. So it's still like a very concerning trend.
One more.
Oh, sorry.
I had a question about people with
knife Right. So when you look at the confidence intervals for those estimates, we do see between like the very first year and very last year of the data that there is an overlap between the confidence intervals. But for a lot of those middle years, it's going down, but it's not necessarily a significant decrease every single year, if that makes sense. So. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Teresa.